Our next presentation is on campus risk management, and I'd like to ask our chancellors to change seats with their respective chiefs of police. We're very pleased to welcome the university's chiefs of police, Kevin Booker from Chicago, Jeff Christensen from Urbana, and Don Mitchell from Springfield. Okay, Barb.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here this morning, and I'm just going to give a very brief overview to what you're about to listen to remind you what this risk management process is about at the University of Illinois. So many of you may recall that in 2009, we set up an enterprise risk management office, and we began much more seriously looking at the risks to this complex organization. Of course, financial risks are one of the set of risks that we talk about all the time, but we have other kinds of risks, and we are working very hard to identify what those risks are and, most importantly, to devise strategies to mitigate those risks. About a year ago, President Colleen created an executive council that would look at risk from a leadership perspective, and it most importantly, I think, includes now the chancellors as well as leaders from the system to begin to identify what the top risks are and then to pick one or two of them each year to really focus on what can we do to take a hard look at those risks and to engage in mitigation strategies. So last year, one of those risks was safety. And I'm delighted to say that I think we've made a lot of really important progress in looking at risk, at the risk of safety, by joining our chief of police's together and to really encourage collaboration and looking at not only what our risks are, but what we can do to mitigate and reduce those risks. So this morning before you, you have our three chiefs of police. They are an incredible group of professionals, and they've been working really hard together. You're going to hear today, I think, that our chief of police from Chicago is going to lead the presentation. So Kevin Booker, who's been the chief of police since 2015 at Chicago, and before that had a position as chief of field services at the University of Chicago, and then before that he was at Purdue. So he's been at multiple institutions of higher ed. He's going to lead the presentation, and then we'll have time for Q&A afterward. And joining Kevin is our other two chiefs, Jeff Christensen on his right, on your left, and Jeff is the chief of police at Urbana. He is also an alum from Urbana, has 2 degrees from Urbana, and has been involved in the police department for a long time. And then next to Kevin on the other side is our chief of police from Springfield, Don Mitchell. And Don has been the chief of police there since 1999. So we have a lot of experience across these three gentlemen, both at other institutions but also in higher ed. So please welcome them and take it away, Kevin.
Thank you for the introduction. Make sure you can hear me okay. First, we'd like to start with a thank you to the board, President Colleen, and all three chancellors for this opportunity. As chiefs of police, we rarely get this opportunity to talk about some of the things we do and think about in a setting like this. Safety is our priority. On slide 2 here provides an illustration of the enterprise risk management process. I will not go through each circle. However, under President Colleen's leadership, we have implemented a new element to our ERM framework under risk response and action, and that is the System Executive Risk Management Council. Members include the president, our three chancellors, university council, university relations, university audits, compliance and ethics, and also enterprise risk management. While respecting the essential independence of the individual universities, the Council seeks to address common challenges to advance the collective risk management priorities of its universities. The Council's, with input from senior leadership, determined that threats to public safety was the first key risk to address. And as Chiefs of Police, we really appreciate all of you taking an interest in what we do on a daily basis. We recognize our jobs as Chief of Police is to minimize liability through our processes and day-to-day operations to keep our university safe. The Executive Council assembled representatives from all three universities to review safety. We used a bow tie analysis to identify risk mitigation strategies specifically for active threat and confrontation at First Amendment gatherings. This framework is extremely useful in thinking through preventative and proactive strategies to mitigate risk causes, as well as strategies to respond to and reduce the harmful effects of risk consequences. So, what did we learn from the ERM process? One, we already have several similar mitigation strategies in place. Two, there are current university system initiatives which include Clery and Title IX, both being federal mandates. And three, and through this process, even with the vast variety of programs already implemented at our universities, we recognized that we needed to focus on internal and external community education and awareness. So what are some of the best practices, the best proactive strategies for actor threat mitigation? Threat prevention and assessment teams. Each university has a student threat response team and also a faculty staff threat response team. These teams review and analyze all pertinent information as it relates to perceived and actual threats to determine if actual risk, to determine if it's actual risk to the university. So what you need to know is these teams are developed and running efficiently to minimize liability to the system. Mutual aid and response. All three universities have mutual aid agreements, which include how outside agencies will respond to our institutions in a crisis. These are very important because we have limited manpower and resources. When a major event takes place on one of our universities, there's not the time to develop relationships and partnerships. This is a key proactive strategy and best practice we all utilize. Training and exercise. To make sure our agencies and community are ready to respond to active threat situations, we must train and conduct exercises with our agencies and stakeholders. This training may be in the form of what-if scenarios to live simulation training. The exercises with our stakeholders may be a simple tabletop exercise to a full-scale active threat scenario. So what are we doing as it relates to active threat outreach and education? We'll start with Urbana. Depicted in the first picture is the cover of their annual security and fire safety report. The next picture is a marketing slogan for their sexual assault survivors. And the last picture depicts Run, Hide, Fight. The executive group emphasized its importance, and with executive support, Urbana PD, Campus Police Department, developed and implemented a communication plan for educating students and faculty on Run, Hide, Fight. Chief Christensen will be available to talk more in detail about this initiative during Q&A if necessary. Outreach and education in Chicago. Depicted in this first picture is our annual security and fire safety report. Then the next one is our community guide with a lot of information we distribute to the community. And the last picture is what we use in educating about dealing with active threats. Evacuate, evade, engage. Same concept as Run, Hide, Fight, but just different words. Outreach and education in Springfield. Depicted in the first picture is the cover of their annual security and fire safety report, and the next picture highlights their annual campus safety week. Chief Mitchell and I are thinking about implementing a very similar communication plan as Urbana. The bow tie approach with the executive leadership had made us realize that we need to take a similar approach to our outreach and education, as I mentioned before in the presentation. So now we'll quickly move into First Amendment gatherings. These situations are taking place all around the country and becoming very complex in nature. The following slides will put them into two basic categories. However, they have become hybrids due to social media and other factors. So the first set is planned versus unplanned. When it's a planned event, of course we know the host, the leader, the organization before the event even takes place. If it's planned, we can ask the group, what are you trying to accomplish and plan for it? However, when it's not planned, we don't know the host, nor the leader, nor the organization. We may not even know where they plan to assemble or move. Therefore, we cannot have constructive dialogue with these individuals or groups before the event. The next category is disruptive and non-disruptive versus non-disruptive. If it's disruptive, we all know it interrupts the business of the university, presents various physical and/or arrest situations. can cause personal and property damage. It causes manpower and traffic issues. The non-disruptive can do all the same things, but the biggest question is, when it's non-disruptive, is how long do you wait before you take action? Every situation is different. So what are some of the best practices in dealing with First Amendment gatherings? Information sharing. We do well among the three universities and with our law enforcement partners around Illinois and the country. We're always networking and discussing these issues. I recently hosted all of the State of Illinois University Chiefs of Police meeting in March here at UIC. A major topic of that meeting was how to deal with these ever-changing and tense First Amendment gatherings. I believe all of us had several takeaways from that discussion. Two, relationship with stakeholders, which could include dean of students, human resources, community groups, student groups. The main thing is we must have the right people involved in the process and at the table. That takes me to number three, incident decision-making process. This is very critical. One of the questions posed to the System Executive Risk Management Council was, who is making a decision on the tolerance threshold for each event and or gathering before decisive and deliberate action should take place? Let me highlight how things should go using best practices in incident decision making as it relates to First Amendment gatherings. An example from UIC. I'm sure my colleagues here can share example as well, but since I have the floor, I'll go ahead and give an example from UIC. Without going into too much detail, we had a political event scheduled to come to campus with a strong desire from student groups to demonstrate during the event. Chancellor Armaretis immediately convened a working group of decision makers and individuals with experience in these type of events. The group consisted of the chancellor himself, the provost, several vice chancellors, legal counsel, public relations, and others. What took place before the event? Daily meetings with the working group from the first day reservations were made to host the event here at UIC, and smaller subgroups to work on certain items. Several phone calls throughout the day among and between members of the group. System and infrastructure set up in the area of the event. We also convened a meeting with all of our local, county, state, and federal law enforcement partners, as well as student organization leader members that planned to demonstrate. We also had some political figures at the table as well during that discussion. Our goal was to protect the rights of all parties during this event and also maintain a safe environment. This is just a quick overview of some of the things that took place before the event. During the event, which we call the operational period, all senior level administrators, including the chancellor, were present near the command center during the whole event. In fact, we had a working law enforcement operations center in one room and the university executive policy group right next door. This is very important in an incident decision-making process. In situations of this magnitude, there should not be much of a delay in the decision being made. After the event, several meetings took place with groups that had questions about the event. And also, the leadership group had a follow-up internal meeting to analyze the event and look for possible improvements for the future. I've been part of a lot of events in my 20-year career, and I'll say this process is a highlight of my career, mainly because senior leadership was willing to roll up their sleeves, so to speak, and put the work in to make everything go smoothly. Now that takes me to number four, our education and training. From the incident decision-making process, it takes education and training so all that are involved utilizes best practices. Last slide, as chiefs, this is our commitment. One, we will continue our collaborative efforts. Two, we will build sustainable partnerships and continue to look for more. Three, we will always look for and try to implement the best practices. And four, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the presentation, safety is our everyday priority, and we thank you for making it a priority as well. Now we'll take questions.
Questions and comments?
I just added a comment. I had the opportunity to listen when you all were going through the process of planning what you're going to say today and what you've been doing, and I think it's a real compliment to the university to have these three and their teams doing what they're doing to walk the line between providing a safe environment for expression, but at the same time providing protection for those who want to express their opinions about it. That's a tough avenue to walk. I understand that you all have that challenge, but I think for us as Board of Trustees, it's great to know that you all have in place a plan to ensure that both of those things happen. So I appreciate you.
Thank you, Ed. Any other comments or questions? All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time to come speak with us today. Thank you.